Tommy Lou Gehrig.
Loogie.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dude's dogs and damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Mom, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lou Gehrig is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lou Gehrig on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lou Gehrig. Loogie. You know, sitting around today thinking about the show tonight, you know, we're at the All-Star break, the game is tonight, the Derby was last night. And I'm like, all right, what do I want to open the show with? What do I want to dominate the first hour or two with? What should be the lead topic of the show today? And because of the Yankee schedule, because of some vacations that I took, or vacation, or time that I wasn't here, I haven't really had a lot of seven midnights, these five-hour Big Lugowskis. And the way my brain works is different hours, different audiences. Yeah, sure, there's loyal people that'll listen to me if I'm on at 3 in the morning or 7 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock after a game. But I realize that just based on your schedules out there, you might only be in the car or around between 7 and 9, and this is your one time to hear me when I'm on during these shows. So I feel like it's been a minute since I've actually done a shift like this. So I think the perfect topic for tonight, because we've done a lot of Yankees, and we're going to continue to do a lot of Yankees, especially with the trade deadline stuff. There's some Giants stuff I want to get into as well. But I feel like it's been a minute since we've had a Met positivity session. Now, let me just, before you pull over on the side of the road here and rip your hair out, I understand that my fellow Met fans are angry, upset, aggravated. They are anxious. They are worried about the future of this team. I feel that frustration in you guys and gals. I read it on social media. I hear it on this radio station. So I totally understand it. And if that's the way you feel, After Hours is 100% a safe place for you to call up and air those frustrations. Now, if I think you go a little bit too far, I'll push back, because I do think there are some narratives out there that are either overboard, hyperbolic, or you're just focusing on one thing and sort of obsessing over one thing, and you're not seeing the big picture. So if that's where you land, meaning you're angry, you're upset, you can't really get past that, you're frustrated in what you've seen in the first half of the season, and you are worried, nervous, anxious for the future of this team, in the future of this franchise, and you don't trust the people that are in charge. You don't trust Steve Cohen. You don't trust David Stearns. You don't trust that they're going to hire the right manager. This is a place to air those frustrations. This is a positivity session. Doesn't mean there won't be negativity. Doesn't mean there won't be frustration or aggravation or anger. But it'll be a positivity session, and I will lay out the positives that I see with this Met team currently and also in the future. And I'll do my best, if you are in a bad way, to get you out of that bad way. And even though it's the All-Star break, even though it's a break from baseball, I think it's a good time to reset, take a deep breath, sort of step back, because you're not watching the team now day in and day out for these couple days that they're off and they're back in action on Thursday night. So it's an opportunity as a Met fan to sort of be clear-minded here, to not be reacting emotionally off a game one way or the other. The weather, if you like warm weather, is nice. So maybe you're at the beach today. Maybe you took off this week because it's All-Star break. Although I feel like that's only something that happens in our business. I don't know if you're an accountant and you say, boy, it's an All-Star break, I think I'm going to take off this week. But it is July, and people do go on vacation this month and next month. So maybe you are on vacation, and you're a staycation, you're at the beach, and got a little tan going, and you're away from the Mets, so you can sort of take a deep breath, clear your mind, and sort of have an open discussion about where this team is at. Now, as always, I would prefer to talk about the present and the future, but if you want to talk about the past, we certainly can. I had a revelation over the weekend, and it kind of started on Thursday night. There are certain names and topics on this radio station that you can say you know, throughout this great history of this legendary station, there are certain names and certain topics that you could just turn on a microphone and say, and it's going to spark a lot of either outrage or strong opinions or phone calls. You know, for years it was Pete Rose, the steroid scandal, Alex Rodriguez, Matt Harvey, Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame, Wilpon selling the Mets. These days it's fire Aaron Boone, fire Brian Cashman. And you just say these sort of buzzwords or names or topics, and it generates a lot of passionate takes on it. And the revelation that I had on Thursday, but it really hit me over the weekend, we have a new one. We have a new name to enter that sort of conversation. And that is, and that name is Pete Alonso. To the point where, and I'm not going to do it tonight, but I think going forward, almost like an Easter egg, when we are getting into football season more or basketball comes back, I think I might just insert Pete Alonso's name into other topics and takes. Like the Giants, I have giant expectations for them. John Harbaugh is here. Jackson Dart, I see him as a dual threat quarterback, Pete Alonso. And I'm very happy to hear that John Harbaugh feels the same way, that they're going to use Jackson Dart, similar to how they use Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. And when I look at this John Harbaugh coach team, I have giant expectations. I think the Giants should make the playoffs, Pete Alonso. And I would be very upset if they don't. On the flip side, you have the Jets. And I think the best thing for the Jets, Pete Alonso, is for them to suck, which shouldn't be too hard for them, and then get the overall number one pick, Pete Alonso, so that the Jets can draft their Jalen Brunson. They could draft their dream quarterback, and the Jet fan can get to taste and experience what I, as a Knick fan and my fellow Knick fans, were able to experience Pete Alonso this past season. I think I'm just going to go do that in August and September, Pete Alonso. But I think that's a part of the show that will be fun to do. Because it's that buzzword, it's that phrase in this particular example, a person's name, that just generates anger, frustration, vitriol, and not towards Pete, but obviously towards the Met organization. Let's start with the positives with the Mets. Things that I'm excited about in the second half, and also going forward for years to come. The outfield, let's start with that. Juan Soto, as good as any player in the league, just a special generational talent, having a monster year, an all-star year. If the Mets' record was better, Juan Soto would be in the MVP conversation. His outfield mates, Carson Bench, who's really been here since day one of this season, has really acclimated himself well to the big leagues. He's having a really good rookie year. And then you have A.J. Ewing, who enters this All-Star break hot as anybody on the team. Just performing at a level that gets you excited about A.J. Ewing and what his prospects could be as the future leadoff hitter on this team, certainly the center fielder of the team with his speed, with his power, which was kind of understated when he first came up here. You know, A.J. Ewing was seen more as a contact hitter, great defense, can steal a lot of bases. And what I've seen from A.J. Ewing is a guy that potentially could hit 18 home runs, which when you consider his average potential, his speed potential, his defense potential, or is it defensive potential? I don't know. Defense, defensive, doesn't matter here. We're just going to throw words out. Defense, defensive, either way, you get the idea. He could go out and get it in center field. I look at those three guys, and there's a lot to be excited about for the Mets outfield for the next 10 years. Then I look at the pitching staff, Nolan McLain. And I know there are some people that are selling shares of their Nolan McLain stock. I'm not one of them. This is still a rookie pitcher. And Nolan McLain, no fault of his own, but the pressure that has been on this guy ever since he came up at the end of last year has been immense. He, Nolan McLain, has been looked at as the savior of this rotation literally every single time he takes the mound. And I think all in all, Nolan McLain, considering all the factors, being a young pitcher in a major market, and the pressures of what was going on at the end of last year, and the pressures of what was going on in the first half of this year, I think Nolan McLain has handled himself quite well. And I look at McClain, not only his stuff, but also his makeup. To me, he's a frontline starter. He's an ace. He's a bulldog. He has the stuff and the mentality to be that guy. Christian Scott, another guy. Battled through injuries, but the stuff is there. The makeup is there. And he, Christian Scott, looks like a guy that could be a front-of-the-line starting pitcher. You got to love what you saw out of Zach Thornton, and he is going to get another start out of the All-Star break, which is great news. So you have three young starting pitchers that you can circle and say, those three guys can man this staff for the next 10, 15 years. Then I look at two guys that are in unique situations with their contracts. First one is Clay Holmes. According to Will Salmon of The Athletic, this came out last week, Clay Holmes is open to a contract extension. If I was David Stearns, if I were the Mets, I would be all over that. Clay Holmes has proven that he can transition from a reliever to a starting pitcher, and he did it at a very high level, especially the first half of this year or before he got hurt. And it was a freak injury. It was not an arm injury. It was not a shoulder injury. It was a line drive off of his leg. Clay Holmes, to me, is a guy that if I were the Mets, I would invest in long term. He knows the market. He has thrived in the market now on both teams. He was headed to the All-Star game if he didn't get hurt. And he was pitching like an ace of the staff, Clay Holmes was. And based on this report of Will Salmon, Clay Holmes is open to staying here. So this is where the Mets, to me, David Stearns, this is something I would not wait for. Because Clay Holmes could have been like, eh, you know. And again, this is reports, but if you go off the report, Clay Holmes could have been like, eh, you know, I don't know. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how the rest of the year goes. And if I want to opt in, I want to opt out. And let me just make my decision at the end of the year. According to this report from Will Salmon of The Athletic, Clay Holmes is open to staying here. And he's telling everybody that, or this report got out there, you know, at the midway point of the year. So that's something, if I were the Mets, I would be paying attention to, and I would be getting Clay Holmes to sign on the dotted line for an extension. Another guy that I hope opts in is Bo Bichette. Bo Bichette's numbers at the end of the year are going to be there. Bo Bichette has fallen into a pattern, unfortunately, that a lot of players that have come to the Mets that have had strong track records have fallen into. Whether it's Piazza, whether it's Beltran, whether it's Lindor, whether it's Soto, so on and so forth. They struggle early on, and then they ultimately come out of it and end up continuing on their great careers. And I see the same exact thing for Bo Bichette. I hope he opts in. I think he will opt in. I mean, where else is he getting paid the kind of money that the Mets are paying him? And I think ultimately, Bo Bichette, with his style of play and his clutch gene, Bo Bichette will ultimately acclimate himself to a lot of Met fans out there. And they will ultimately, Met fans, love this guy because he was beloved in Toronto because of the hustle, because of the clutch gene, because of the big hits, because of just being a machine at the plate. And that's not a guy that I want to give up on halfway into new team and in a new league, an environment that through the years, and I don't know if there's a correlation, but it seems like there is, of guys that have strong track records, they come to the Mets, and it doesn't always work out right out of the gates. They don't always have the best of starts to their Met career. But guys like Lindor, guys like Piazza, Beltran, Soto, they all recovered in big-time ways. Which leads me to the guy I just mentioned two names ago, and that is Francisco Lindor. To me, Francisco Lindor not only is a part of the present, he's a part of the future. And I can't explain the season that Francisco Lindor is off to. I can't. I think it's one of those unexplainable things. As a husband, I would love to use that excuse with my wife when it comes to leaving the toilet seat up. Like, why did you leave the toilet seat up? I don't know, honey. It's just one of those unexplainable things. Which really, if you think about it, fellas, if we could just have a little side conversation here. If your wife's in the car with you, just tell her earmuffs because she doesn't need to hear this right now. But if I leave the toilet seat up and she, my wife, or if this happens to your wife or girlfriend or fiance, whatever the case may be, if she decides in the middle of the night that, well, not really decides. I mean, I think it decides for her. But let's say the decision has been made that she needs to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. She gets up And this is where the decision comes into play. She decides not to turn the light on. And then she goes into the bathroom, and the seat is up, and she falls in. First of all, if that happens, call a Coast Guard. What do you want me to tell you? That's number one. Number two, turn the light on. I shouldn't be responsible for putting the seat down. You should be responsible for putting the light on and checking if the seat is down or up. Well, I don't want to turn the light on. I don't want to wake up. Again, not my problem. It really isn't. Yeah, I don't want my poor wife swimming around in toilet water, but I also don't want to be responsible for this every single time I go to the bathroom.
My wife is a dingbat.
So what I would say is to her, you know, honey, it's just one of those unexplainable things. It's just one of those unexplainable things. And I think if we were to use that in our daily lives, I think it would make life a lot easier. And in this situation with Francisco Lindor, I know there's been a lot made about wives and mayors and politics and this, that, and the other, and a relationship with Juan Soto, and everybody wants to put the tinfoil hat on, and everybody wants to turn it into the Vanderpump Rules or a reality TV show or the Real Housewives of, in this situation, Queens. I don't buy into that stuff. I graduated high school a long time ago. I don't want to go back to high school. I'm not for the drama. I'm not for all that nonsense. I just can't explain what's going on. Because this is a player, Francisco Lindor, that 2 years ago was second in MVP voting in the National League. He had a million big hits. And the idea that people want to trade him, to me, is nuts, because we just came off an offseason where the Mets traded Nimmo, let Pete walk, got rid of McNeil. Francisco Lindor had bigger moments because Pete's moment got him to the NLDS, but Lindor's moment got him to the NLCS. So why is everybody okay with Lindor going, but not okay with those guys going? Homegrown, maybe that's a factor. But it wasn't too long ago that Francisco Lindor, the talk was to make him captain. And maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. Maybe he had a concussion earlier in the year. It's hard. When you speculate, you get yourself into trouble. What we do know is Francisco Lindor, before the All-Star break hit, he had voiced his sort of, hey, look, I need to be better. This team needs to be better. I understand Met fans' frustrations. And for the sake of this conversation, let's just say that Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor don't get along, just for the sake of the conversation. Hire Alex Cora in the offseason. Hire a guy that can walk in here that is a adult in the room, a CEO, much like John Harbaugh, a taskmaster, a guy that's dealt with superstars, a guy that has dealt with the pressure of a market and a fan base in Boston that is similar to New York in terms of expectations and media coverage. Alex Cora has, it's not his first rodeo. He has familiarity with the Mets, obviously having been a Met. To me, that's top priority, hiring Alex Cora. And if there needs to be a bridge mended here between Soto and Lindor, I think Alex Cora is the perfect person to do that. So I'm not trading one of my best players, and I don't think the Mets are going to do it because they're going to have to eat a lot of the money. There's the contract just sort of makes it almost impossible that they're going to move Francisco Lindor. Now, I know there's been some reports out there about the Mets, and they're open for business, and you'd be surprised at who they would trade with, and which means Phillies and Yankees. We could sit here and do Mets-Yankees trades from now till the cows come home, but the reality is I don't see Francisco Lindor going anywhere. I certainly don't see him going to the Yankees. I just don't think the Mets are in the business of shopping Francisco Lindor, and nor should they be. Talking about one of their best players here. Don't trade Lindor. The outfield is, I think, a major positive. I see a lot of positives with this young pitching staff. Clay Holmes should be extended. I hope Bo Bichette opts in. Alex Cora is first on my wish list of this offseason. Scooble would be second on that wish list. And I know David Stearns, he doesn't want to offer people long-term contracts and pitchers long-term contracts. First of all, they gave Juan Soto a long-term contract, and the Mets were willing to give Yamamoto a long-term contract. So they've done it in two situations, except one guy took it, the other guy didn't. And when it comes to a guy like Tarik Skubal, we're talking about one of, if not the best pitchers in all of baseball. So that's a situation where you should give him a lot of money. You should give him a lot of years. At some point, you have to push the chips in the middle when it comes to pitchers. You know, I'm all for short deal here, short deal there. I don't like opening up the checkbook for a lot of years for a lot of money for pitchers, unless they are just generational, can't miss guys that are just game changers. And I think Skubal is that. So to me, Cora, Skubal, top two on the wish list. You keep Lindor. This outfield to me is the outfield for the next 10 years. Bichette, I hope, opts in. And I think he will just because the money is so good that where else is he getting that on the open market? Clay Holmes, extended. Luke Weaver's an interesting thing. And we'll get into more of this later on with the Mets as far as the trade deadline stuff, just for the sake of conversation. I think there's a strong argument to not trade Luke Weaver. I think there's a strong argument not to trade him. This is a guy that has now flourished in two different situations as a relief pitcher, once with the Yankees, now with the Mets. Now, he's going to get you a pretty penny in the trade deadline, but you have a bunch of guys you can trade that are relievers that could bring you back a large haul. The Mets have a plethora of relievers that they can move. You don't want to move everybody, and then you're left with nothing, and then the conversation is, well, now they have no relievers, why don't they have any relievers? So I think you always have to walk that tightrope at the deadline. Again, for the sake of this conversation, to see what the Mets are going to be doing. And the deadline is also interesting, and we'll get more into it with the Yankees as well. Based on these next couple of weeks, buyers will emerge, sellers will emerge. Teams that just end up ultimately staying put could be the ultimate decision for teams that, like, let's take the Red Sox, for example. They were awful for a while. They fired Alex Cora. All of a sudden, they're the hottest team in baseball. They're, what, two games under 500? What looked like sellers a couple of weeks ago now looks like a situation where they could be buyers, or maybe they just stay put. Whereas a team like San Francisco, in all likelihood, are going to be sellers. And they have plenty of names that are going to be very interesting at the trade deadline, including Devers, including Arise, etc. But if you're a Met fan right now, you're frustrated, you're aggravated, you're upset, you're angry, you're nervous about the future, this is a safe place. I'll do my best to talk you through it. If you feel the same way as I do, great. I'm never going to say, hey, you have to be positive. If you're not positive, I totally understand what the record is in the first half. I'm not here to necessarily put lipstick on the pig of the first half record. What I'm here to do is tell you about what I think the present and future is going to be of this team. But I'm not going to run away from the past if it's bothering you, even if you want to go as far as the past as the offseason. Because I think there's ways, and we've had this happen on this show, where I think I've gotten people to kind of turn around their disposition on a Pete Alonso or the offseason or a David Stearns. Or we just agreed to disagree, but you at least hear a different viewpoint on it. And I think that's important. I think that's the right way to go about these type of conversations and this type of discourse. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is the All-Star Game tonight. I'll be on the air throughout it, so we'll react as we go. We'll react, obviously, at the end of it. I'm sure it'll be over by 11 o'clock because I'm on till midnight. We'll get into the Yankees and their trade deadline targets, including a new one that is getting a lot of steam. And I will break that player down and see if it's actually realistic that Brian Cashman and the Yankees will go after this player. Plus, John Harbaugh did an interview today. He had a lot to say about Jackson Dart and the type of role that Jackson Dart will have on this Giants team with John Harbaugh at the helm. So we'll let you hear that as well. Plus your phone calls, 888-808-1019. And I know this is a little wishy-washy, we might do an Ask Tommy Anything tonight. Let's just see how the night goes. Here's how I'll put it at 725. If you want to ask me anything, you certainly can do that throughout the night. And depending on how the night goes, because we have three nights to do this, and I'm not sure which night is the perfect night, and I won't know that until the night. And right now, I don't feel like it is necessarily the perfect night, but it could turn into that. But for now, and there's a fly in the studio. I'm not sure how a fly got in here. We literally have no windows, no doors, but there's a fly literally flying around. So we're going to take care of the fly in the break as well. But if you want to ask me anything throughout the show, feel free to do that as well. 888-808-1019. And you can always hit me up on Twitter at Tommy Lugauer, LugAuer. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. Positive Tommy here in primetime on The Fan. The baseball All-Star Game is tonight, and that's my Fan Focus. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. The baseball All-Star Game and the baseball All-Star festivities has always been the superior All-Star Game when you look at the four major sports. It is the one all-star game baseball that feels like a regular season baseball game. The final score is not 12-10. It's not 25-23. It's not like basketball used to be where there was no defense in the NBA All-Star Game, or the Pro Bowl, which was a complete farce, or the hockey All-Star Game where there was way more goals in that than you would see in a regular season game. The baseball All-Star Game, generally speaking, is dominated by pitching, and there is some moments, sometimes late in the game, that decides it offensively one side or the other. And as of late, and by late, I mean basically the last 20 years, it usually is the American League that comes out on top. But as a kid, I always loved the baseball All-Star Game more than any of the other All-Star Games. I always loved the Home Run Derby. And to me, it just translates the best of any of the All-Star Games. And I know a lot of the star players, either these days, either don't want to play in the game, but that's kind of where sports is. Because these are glorified exhibitions. And most years, the star players get a couple at-bats, and then they hop on the PJ, and they go to Cancun or wherever they're going. That's why last year when we had the swing-off, and we were looking for some of these top, like, where's Aaron Judge? It's like, well, dude, he's halfway to wherever he's going on vacation. Which really shined the light on that players actually duck out early, which is totally fine. It's their prerogative. They did enough over the last couple days. And they deserve a couple of day break here before the second half and push to October. And I have no problem with Cam Schlittler deciding not to pitch in the All-Star game. It does suck for, a younger fan that wants to see him pitch. But you could see Cam Schlittler pitch. It's not like it used to be where you would watch the All-Star game because it might be your one or two, maybe your only opportunity to see certain players. Because we didn't have all these games on all the time or interleague play, and you might not get an opportunity to see some of these American League players or some of these National League players, whatever the case may be. Now, it's almost like an oversaturation of how many games there are and how many opportunities you get to see these players. So you could see Cam Schlittler pitch really whenever you want. And I understand it's not in this type of format against necessarily an NL All-Star team, but you have to applaud a guy that's thinking about the postseason, thinking about October, and not thinking about an exhibition, because that's really all it is. You know, I respect baseball for not changing the All-Star game to try to make it gimmicky and goofy, much like basketball has done, although basketball was out of necessity, and I actually do like the format that basketball had at the All-Star game this year. But outside of the swing-off, which I actually thought was awesome, and I wouldn't be totally opposed to swing-offs in the regular season going forward. I think that would be cool. Now, you don't have to do it in the 10th inning. I think it's okay to have the Manfred runner on for a few innings, and when you get to the 13th or 14th inning, you could have a swing-off. Because let's be real, how many 13, 14-inning baseball games do we see these days? Most of them end either in the 10th or 11th. So with the break glass in case of emergency, you get to the 13th or 14th inning, you have yourself a swing-off. I think that's totally something that I know baseball purists would be upset about. But if you're a baseball purist, I mean, you lost the battle at this point. I mean, really, you have virtually nothing left. So you really need to fight for the 13th and 14th inning of a baseball game to not have a swing off. And it's not about, well, we need to wrap this game up. People need to get home. It's cool. You know, the World Cup, which is a massive, massive event for soccer, these games in the knockout rounds are decided after 30 minutes of overtime or extra time with penalty kicks. It's the same thing. That's basically a swing-off. And this is the World Cup. This is for all the marbles. This is all the nations getting together to win the grand prize. This is not a regular season game in July in the 13th inning. So I would have no problem at all going forward if the swing-off became part of baseball in extra innings. Not in October, of course, but definitely throughout the regular season. But yeah, I'm very happy that the All-Star game, for the most part in baseball, has the same feel in terms of the format that what it was when I was a kid. And I know that we can't turn back the hands of time. Unless you find Doc Brown in a DeLorean outside right now, you can't go back to the 80s, you can't go back to the 90s. It's not the same in terms of intensity that it used to be. And I don't think there's this sense of pride in National League, American League like there used to be because of interleague play. These teams play each other throughout the year. It's not like, well, this is the, there's no interleague play, so this is the American League versus the National League. It's for league supremacy. I don't get that feel and vibe. It's just more about a celebration of baseball. It's the as many amount of stars as you can get on the field at once. It's not all of the top all-stars because either guys decline or opt out of not playing or can't be here because of injury or they pitched on Sunday so they can't pitch in the game. So there's a lot of red tape, which is totally understandable. I mean, these guys are getting paid a ton of money by the team that employs them. So the important thing to do is to be healthy, ready to go for the second half in October. But even without a Judge or an Ohtani or players of that, well, there's really only a few players of that caliber, but you know what I'm saying. The top echelon all-stars, you still have a great event here. And another reason why I like the All-Star Game, too, is because baseball one, it's the summer. I'm freezing my goyuns off in February. For all three of those, for the Pro Bowl, which used to exist. Now I think it's tug-of-war, or they draw straws, or they have a water balloon fight. I'm not sure exactly what they do. And all I know is the Mannings are involved. That's really all I know about the talk about an event that I will never flip on. The whatever it is, the Pro Bowl skills competition, flag football game that they play, that's something that I would never, ever, ever, ever turn on. I have zero interest in that. Basketball, I still watch. Hockey, I still watch. But it's freezing outside. So there's that winter sports sort of depression that is going on that time of year. Now it's July, it's summer, the weather's warm. I know it's not for everybody. Some people don't like the warm weather. Some people don't like the sun. But I think overall, we as a society, we as humans, are very much weather dependent in terms of our mood. Meaning if the weather's nice, we're in a good mood. Now we could differ on what is nice weather. Some people think this is the best weather of the year. Others think it's more late August, July, October. Now, I was thinking about this the other day, and I'll get your calls here in 1 second. This is where I'd go off on a million tangents, because it's 7 to 12, and I'm just, my brain is everywhere. Loogie! The fall has a smell. I can't explain what the smell is, but the fall just has a smell, in a good way. Stings the nostrils, in a good way. The fall just has a smell to it. And maybe it's, because like, if I said the summer has a smell to it, you'd say, yeah, that makes sense. Sunscreen, hot dog hamburgers on the grill, bug spray, even fireworks, smoke. The summer has a smell. There are certain things that you smell that you associate with the summer because they really only are around. And like nobody's putting on sunscreen, I don't think, in February. Nobody, I don't think, is putting on bug spray in December. Nobody, I don't think, is shooting off fireworks too much outside of the summer. So there's just a grilling on the barbecue. You're not doing that in the winter times. You're not doing that necessarily in the spring because it's too cold out. But there are just certain smells in the summer. The fall, though, it just, I can't explain it. Maybe it's the chill in the air at night, that good chill, though. It just has a certain smell to it that I enjoy.
It's easy to figure out the smell.
This better be good.
Hello, Tommy.
No, this better be good because I had this whole plan on how to unveil you on this show tonight because I've been talking it up because you haven't been here, Rosenberg, in a month. And I knew when I started talking about smells and seasons.
I was going to jump in during the weather comment, but I held back.
What weather comment did I make?
About just now.
Oh, the perfect weather. Yes. Yeah, I think it's to each its own. Honestly,
agreed.
There's people that love the winter. They love to go skiing. They love snow. There's maniacs like that we're going to get 12 inches of snow so we go skiing. Great. To each its own. There's some people that want to sit and bake in the sun for 90 degrees with the temperature for 9 straight hours. And then there are others that like those are the extremes. They like the middle. They're the swing states. They're Michigan. They're Ohio. I don't even think Arizona's a swing state anymore. It's pretty much a blue state. But you know what I'm saying. Nevada, that's kind of a swing state now.
Nevada, so, Pennsylvania,
PA,
big one.
Correct. Well, PA, you think PA's a swing state at this point?
Yes, absolutely. The blue wall was not blue last election.
That's fair. That's a good point. That's a good point. Because we could say the same thing about Florida. That used to be Democratic, and now it's kind of a Republican.
Anyway,
state.
The cause of the smell in the fall and or autumn is the leaves falling. And the leaves composing or decomposing on the ground causes a smell.
But what is the smell that it causes? Because to me, it is a good smell. Now, I love the fall, so perhaps I just associate. There's just something about that chill in the air. Not winter chill, but just that nice chill in the air. It's sweater weather.
Yeah.
It's sweater weather.
Absolutely.
I used to love that in college. I'd put my letters on. I'd put ripped jeans on. I guess I kind of still dress like that. But I just love that. To me, it's college weather. You know
right.
what I mean?
So bacteria and fungus, I believe.
Why does bacteria
decompose?
And fungus have to be involved? I was trying.
Because they decompose the leaves.
I was painting this beautiful picture of the smell of fall, and you have to bring up bacteria.
Because the bacteria and the fungus decompose the leaves and breaks down the leaves' sugars and carbohydrates. And that's what causes the smell.
A good one, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah, it just has this, it just has a smell to it. Because like I said, even if I said, hey, the winter has a smell, you could say, oh, candy canes or mistletoe or eggnog. Like, there's associations with smell, and I think even December, maybe not January, February, but winter time to a degree. But the fall, pumpkin spice, don't get me started on that, but I love the fall. I can't get with the pumpkin spice people. They annoy the heck out of me. It's like, because you know why? The pumpkin spice people start in August with that stuff. You have your time for the pumpkin spice. It's not August. But there is a wonderful aroma in the fall, and whether it has to do with the decomposing of bacteria and fungi in leaves, either way, it makes me happy. But so does the summer, and that's why I love the baseball All-Star game, because it is, depending on where you land on this, the middle of the summer. I better not get started on another tangent here, because the folks, Memorial Day is the start of summer. Not really. No, it's not. The end of June is. Well, 4th of July is the middle of the summer. Not really, because the end of summer is more the end of September. But, of course, we have to live our society based on when kids go to school. God forbid we just not do that, but we have to do that. So Memorial Day, Labor Day are most people's benchmarks for the start and end of summer, but in reality, they're not. So it is technically the beginning of summer now. That's why when you go to the beach early June, you're freezing, because it's spring. This is why they call me Tommy the Weatherman. Let's go to Sean in Old Bridge. He joins us here on After Hours. What's going on, Sean?
What's going on, Loogie? How we doing tonight?
Doing great. Hope all is well with you. What's happening?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm excited for the All-Star game tonight. It's going to be like a very great show. I think so. Like, all the players get to showcase their skills. Yep. There are some that are new to the All-Star game, or some have seen it before in the past, of course. So this should be like a great showing.
Yeah, I think that whether you're new to this or you're like Justin Verlander, where this is his swan song, this is his final All-Star game before he calls it a Hall of Fame legendary career, or this is your first time as an All-Star, let's say Ben Rice or somebody like that, I would say this is a very special game and night for all those players, because whether they were voted in, picked to be on the team, whatever the case may be, they could look around and say, I'm one of the best players in the sport. I've been honored to be one of the best players in the sport. And yeah, you might be thinking about your friends that are on vacation or your teammates are on vacation, but you know what? Philadelphia's not a great place to go on vacation, but at least you get to be honored like this on a big stage.
Yeah, I agree. And then there was something interesting I saw on Twitter today. So yeah. I saw something interesting about Yankees trying to go for, like, I think you might know the might be the player you might be talking about later on the show.
Mason Miller. Yeah. I saw the same. And look, Mason Miller, Sean, is a name that has been bantied about over the last, I don't know, really since the offseason, when that story came out or that report came out, or there were rumblings that the Padres and ownership, and they could be selling off the team, or they're in financial trouble. So everybody started speculating on Tatis and on Bogarts and on Miller and on Manny Machado, and potentially the Padres, who, to their credit, spent a lot of money but haven't won a World Series. Everybody thought maybe San Diego's going to be open for business. That ultimately didn't end up happening in the offseason, but now here we are at the midway point, and the Padres, let's just do a double check on their record, because obviously records change day in and day out. The Padres are at 500. Here's the problem, though. The National League is really, really good. They're 12.5 out of first place, but they're not like crazy, crazy out of the wild card. The Padres could still make the decision, Sean, to stay. They kind of strike me as a team that would stay put more than they would trade off players. Plus, Miller is under contract for the next 3 or 4 years. So he's not only one of the best, if not the best, relievers in baseball, closer-wise, or any reliever, he's also under control for a long time. So it would be surprising if San Diego moved on from him.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm really curious to, like, see how they pan out for that, like, being Dale. And, and before I forget, did Rosie remember the Brownies? Did he remember?
We're going to find out next hour. based on the look he just gave me across the way, he did not. I have a full list of things that Rosenberg is going to have to answer for in the next hour, because one is cosmic brownies. Two is he was supposed to bring me something back from Disney. Three, we're going to get into the interaction we had last night, because I felt like he did not do his job for this radio show. And the snarky text messages that he sent me, we're going to do a little role-playing. I'll read my end, he'll read his end. There was one more thing, too, that I needed from him. Oh,
he's a glue guy.
Yeah, except he wasn't here for a month. I want to hear a little bit about the vacation, and if the phrase, I don't kiss and tell, comes out of your mouth, I'm going to literally blow a gasket. You're not in the mood, you get in the mood. The whole reason to kiss is to tell. So we're going to hear about some of the things that happened on your vacation, because you were updating us on social media, and now that you're here and you can go in front of a microphone, I don't need you to be tight-lipped. Let's head out to Alex in New Haven. He joins us. What's up, Alex?
What's up, Tommy? Long time no talk.
Good to hear from you.
So I was just listening, and I think that my whole life, I always thought pumpkin spice was like the Christmas of flavors. You know, like it shows up in July, and it's not until December.
Yeah, it wears out its welcome. It's kind of a pig.
Yeah, it's like, don't get me wrong, I love Christmas, but like it's kind of overrated. Like, I don't love pumpkin spice. Like, Christmas was cool as a kid, but now it's like,
Well, listen, I it's probably cool. I don't know if you have kids, but I hear that it's cooler once you have kids. I don't have kids, but I agree with you that when I was a kid, it was a hell of a lot cooler. And if I had kids, I still think it would be cooler when I was a kid, because I want to be the one getting gifts. As far as pumpkin spice, my wife loves it. I agree with you, though. I think it's totally overrated. And we also, yeah. Alex, this is a great topic of conversation. We have now become a society where we just, to me, like, you'll see stuff for Halloween in the stores late August. In about a week, it'll be back to school shopping. The kids just got off of school. Now they got to go to back to school shopping. Pumpkin spice will be out there in early August. Christmas starts in September. We've just become a society where we don't let things breathe. We don't give everything the only thing that gets nothing is Thanksgiving. Basically, it gets one movie, Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. There's no songs attached to it, and it doesn't even get its own parade because Santa has to put his 2 cents in and show up at the end of the parade. So I think that's just kind of where we're at societally.
Yeah, I totally agree. I needed someone else's take on that. I always thought pumpkin spice made its way to the party way too early.
Way too early. Yeah, no, it's like that person. This is like Rosenberg's like this. You're having a party. You're having a kegger. Yeah, we're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here. You have a kegger. You have a party, right? Back in the day or even yesterday. And you're inviting all these people over. And you tell people, hey, show up at the house at 10 o'clock. When you say 10 o'clock, you mean 11 o'clock. But then there's people like Rosenberg that show up at 8 o'clock. So now for 2 hours, awkwardly, he's going to sit there because he can't carry a conversation. He's going to stare at you. Meanwhile, you're getting ready for the party. You're setting up everything for the party for your guests, other guests, to arrive at 11 o'clock. I feel like that's the way with pumpkin spice, where the pumpkin spice people want the pumpkin spice way before the pumpkin spice should even be going down the gullets of our throats. So for me, and I don't like pumpkin spice, let me be clear about that, it should be late September. We start seeing it late August. And that's the same thing with Christmas. That's the same thing with Halloween. Halloween's decorations in the stores in August. Halloween is at the end of October. Who's going in August to buy Halloween stuff? I'm telling you, in a week, back to school shopping. Back to school shopping. The kids just got out of school. Am I wrong here? Maybe I am. I don't think I am, though. I've always had this take. This is one of the ones that I've always bothered me, this stuff. Halloween stuff in the stores at the end of August. And then you have six. Now, I used to love this when I was single. 16 different weekends to celebrate Halloween. And yet, lowly Thanksgiving doesn't even get its own parade. Because jolly old St. Nick, who, look, and I love Santa. I do. Let me be clear here. I love Santa, but let's be real. He's an absolute pig. What?
Don't they have the balloon parade? The Macy's parade?
Yeah.
For Thanksgiving?
Of course. Have you watched the Thanksgiving? I know you have, because the thing that comes after it is your Super Bowl, which is the canine. What's the name of this stupid
it's
thing?
It's the National Dog Show.
Yeah, with these dumb dogs that walk around.
Hey, come on.
Let's be real.
Dumb dog. We're going to get Peter King on the line here.
Not dumb meaning, okay, I've meant that more affectionately. They're dumb in the sense that they're just, they have a naivete. What's the word? Naivete. No, come on. When you're naive. Naivete, They have a nativite.
I think you're trying to say the nativity scene.
No, I'm not trying to say the nativity scene. There's no frankincense and myrrh. Nativite. I can't say the word properly. And as usual, you are zero help. Zero. Zero. You're supposed to be, as the producer, you're the genie. I rub the lamp when I need it. You're supposed to pop out and say, hey, Al, I'm your best friend. Here's three wishes. You never had a friend like me. Meanwhile, whenever I'm struggling and drowning, you look at me like a deer in the headlights.
Anywho, you're my best friend.
I don't mean dogs are dumb. I mean they have this way about them that is great because to them, the world is amazing. They don't understand the hardships. So it's kind of like being young, dumb, and naive. That's what I meant by that. But you watch this dopey dog show every Thanksgiving, but you do watch the parade, I'm sure, because it's the lead-in. The Thanksgiving Day Parade, half of it is Christmas stuff. It's called the Thanksgiving Day Parade, but yet half of it is Christmas. So Thanksgiving doesn't even get its own parade. That's what I mean by that.
Okay, I think...
Let me ask you this. At the Halloween parade that we have in the city here, is the second half of the Halloween parade Thanksgiving themed? No.
No. It's all costume.
Right. So why is the Thanksgiving Day parade, half of it, Christmas?
Because companies want to sell things.
Dog, I know that's the answer, but just play along. Because the answer that I normally get is, it's the start of the Christmas season. Really? I've been seeing John Travolta commercials as Santa Claus for the last 6 months. So as far as I'm concerned, Christmas has already started. This Christmas in July, actually. I'm seeing commercials for Elf. And I love Elf, but I will not watch it in July.
Are you one of those people who also won't have like pineapple or citrus flavor in winter?
No, okay. So okay, this is where I break my own rules. I will, but it's only in, okay, I'll have a Corona and I'll put a lime in it any month of the year because okay. I love Corona and I love the people at Corona and they were very good to me and the watch parties and I love me some Corona, always have. But will I have mango? Mango, mango. Will I have mango in November? Probably not.
I only ask because on the way...
It was the cashmere, Georgie. What?
On the way down for one of my...
No, we don't want to hear about this right now.
No, real quick.
No, real quick. There is no real quick. Real quick is anytime a caller calls up, it says real quick, don't make any plans. Because when I... Hi, Tommy.
It's relevant.
First time, long time, real quick. 6 minutes later, that caller will still be talking. Real quick is the death sentence for something that actually goes quick. What? What?
It's too late now. You killed the mood.
What do you mean I killed the mood? What is this, a date? What do you mean I killed the mood? What is that supposed to mean? For all the bad dates you've been on, you should be used to moods being killed.
Very much so.
Yeah. We're going to get into your... Just put a pin in it. That's all.
I just did. The pin is in.
No, you didn't put the pin in it. You just basically whisked it away. Oh, it's too late. The mood has ended. Oh, da-da-da. No.
The pin is in.
Put the pin in it. Can I take more calls or no? Because everybody's waiting. Everybody's waiting. So you need to tell Chris and Stu that we're going to get to him in the next segment.
Chris and Stu, we're going to get to him in the next segment.
Not on the air, dummy.
888-808-1019. That's the phone number to call if you want to talk to Tommy.
I meant to do it off the air, not on the air. You need to do that off the air and not bore our audience and bother our audience with stuff that they don't need to hear. But what they do need to hear is from me, and that will be coming up next hour. I want to let you know some of the things that John Harbaugh had to say today about Jackson Dart and his potential role under John Harbaugh, meaning John Harbaugh coach team, Jackson Dart. What's going to be his role? Is he going to be a dual threat? Is he going to be more of a pocket passer? John Harbaugh had some interesting things to say about him. I touched on this a little bit last night, but I want to go further on it because it just blew up all over social media, and that is Juan Soto taking a picture with the Yankee All-Stars and this continued sort of witch hunt that surfaces and seems to come around every couple of months when it is involving Juan Soto and the Yankees. We'll find out if Rosenberg got me Cosmic Brownies, if he got me anything from Disney. We'll get into his Disney trip. There was a bison attack. Did you see the video of this bison?
Everybody saw the video.
This bison attack, which is a good segue. Something else I talked about last night, and I'll tease it here. I don't even know if I want to tease it, because it's one of those things, if I tease it, you can't just tease it and then go away from it, because it's so good. Let me just put it to you this way. I think I have the solution for the next Yankee manager. The next Yankee manager. Talked about it a little bit last night, but if you missed it, maybe you're watching the Home Run Derby, I will let you know what that is or who that person is coming up here before midnight, and your phone calls. If you're on hold right now, we'll get to you. If you want to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Positive Tommy, here in primetime.